Good morning, everybody. I want to welcome you all here. And there's so much going on. But we have beautiful people here. And this is going to be an amazing morning. Just want to say there's so much going on in all of us together. And we love that. We love that, we love that, we love that. And before we start or go any further, I want to pray. Father, you are good. You are good. And we are your children. And we reach up and say yes to your plans for this morning. Thank you that you choreograph our day. You choreograph, you orchestrate, you compose and orchestrate, and we want to flow with the melody of this morning. And so, Father, we open our hearts, Holy Spirit, we open our hearts to the song of this Sunday. In Jesus' name. Welcome to everybody. And we have beautiful people here, and last night was an amazing experience. We celebrated Passover, and we don't have photos up. I wish we did, but this room was transformed into the most exquisite, beautiful banquet, just so royal, so beautiful. It was so lovely. I walked in and it was impactful. And Ira led us through. We all took turns to read part of it. But Ira took us through, and it was so spacious and so beautiful, and our hearts could respond and walk with the whole beautiful journey of the Passover, which is such a beautiful celebration. So I feel like we have been so impacted by that. Is there anybody else who would like to just add to their from their experience last night? Just in the journey. It's just been so amazing. We've actually probably got people away because they just took their hearts. They're probably still enjoying it. That's fine. It was beautiful. Anybody got anything from last night? We're just very, very thankful. Very thankful. So we have a testimony. I'm going to invite Roger to come forward. He's the big one.
Small one's Ethan. Okay, so basically, a couple years ago, so let me restart. Financially, I'm an idiot, or I was an idiot. Very bad with money. Thank you. Laura knows this, and we prayed. And we were like, all right, Dad, we need you to help us, because we have no idea financially how to do this, but we know that we need it. So we prayed, and then we also prayed as a body here at Catch a Fire, and Dad heard us, all of us, and he brought the wonderful Graham and Jennifer to us, and they took the time and the humility and the energy. And they created with Dad this just life-changing financial course. And this financial course is so life-changing that I'm standing up here to tell you all, as of banking hours tomorrow, Laura and I are completely out of debt, 100%, except for our car loan, which is managed. It's all within, what's the phrase? Okay, which is all within God's provision and our closed circle, which is part of the financial course that Graham and Jennifer taught us. That's 13,000 down since August, with me earning 14 an hour. So yeah, think about that for a second. That's not, people don't do that. And I was off work for like 3 or 4 months with no income. but we didn't go into more debt through that. So Dad is faithful. He is amazing. And I will be one of the louder people about this. Go to the financial course. It's hard. It really takes humility and to change your whole lifestyle and mindset on money, but it works. And I will scream from the top of my lungs that that what they taught us works. And thank you.
That's great news, Roger and Laura and the boys. It's beautiful. Walking miracles, all of you. It's great. Today is Palm Sunday. That's where we remember what Jesus did for us in this final week of his life. And it's amazing, isn't it? It went from rejoicing, like we were just rejoicing for Roger and Laura in the finance class, but they went from rejoicing to crucifixion in just 5 days. I know some of us are really wrestling stuff right now. And I want today to be such a beautiful blend of the pain and the celebration, because God meets us in both. And we're going to talk a bit more about that later on. But I want you to remember that during Holy Week, as we call it, there was that time where Mary broke open her inheritance, if you like, her savings, her well-being, her jar of costly ointment, and she poured it on Jesus' feet. And for many of us, when we're going through something, whether we're going through celebration or whether we're going through trial, when we pour open our hearts at Jesus' feet, that's when the fragrance of his presence comes. And we've been devoting ourselves to being a company of people who welcome God's presence. And so that's part of what we're going to do this morning. I see a look in your eye that maybe says we're going to do something else first. No, we're not. Okay. Yeah, I am excited too. I really feel like God's got appointments for every one of us this morning. And so I want to encourage you just to be free as we sing together. I want you to be free to return the Lord's tithe to the container here. For those of us who, this is our church home, this is our storehouse. We give that first 10% right back to God to say, everything I've got has come from you. And here's that first 10% because that guarantees all the rest of it. But then there's also our offerings basket for any of us who want to just see God increase us financially and spiritually. Both of those are ways that we can open up that ointment and pour it on Jesus' feet, but also as we sing and worship. So I want to encourage you, feel free to use the space at the front here. We've got this beautiful cross that was constructed for Corey and Lily's wedding. Welcome back, Mr. and Mrs. Martinez. And so you can come and kneel here, or you can come and sort of lay on the floor at the front. You can flag. Feel free to engage your heart with God in any way that he prompts you this morning as we worship together, because it's going to be a beautiful, intimate time where he meets you right where you are. Don't try and pretend. Don't try and do what anybody else is doing. Just let him meet you right where you are and say yes to him. As we did at the Passover last night, and as we do here every week, I want to invite you to look at the bread. It's pierced, and it's striped, and it's scarred, as Jesus was scarred for us. And when he said to his disciples, "This is my body," he intended us to remember every time we receive it how much he's done for us. His body broken for you and for me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine that's the color of blood, and he transformed the meaning of that cup when he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is given for you and for many for the remission of sin. He said he's cancelling out every debt. Just like Roger and Laura have cancelled out debt. With God's help and Graham and Jennifer's help and the support of all of us, Jesus has cancelled every debt with this cup. He intends us to remember it every time we receive. Come forward with thankfulness to receive everything you need, because it's in Him. We'll serve you, and then you can receive together in any combination you like. If you've got someone special with you, or you want to do it quietly on your own by the cross, or you want to gather a group, just receive these elements of how much God loves every one of us and how Jesus gave His blood for the salvation of the whole world. Come forward when you're ready.
Of tears, my heavy load He chose to bear. His heart with sorrow was torn, yet not my will but Yours, He said. This is our God, the servant King. You cause us now to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily offering, worship to the servant King. Come see His hands and His feet, the scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space, two cruel nails surrender. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant King. Come see His hands and His feet, the scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space, to cruel nails surrendered. This is our God, the servant King. Cause us now to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant King. Thank you. this is O God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king.
Palm Sunday, where everyone was focused on one thing, King on a donkey riding into Jerusalem. And I'd love for us to be focused on one thing for a few moments, the King. The king on a donkey. As I said at the start of the morning, it's amazing to me how Jesus went from acclaim to crucifixion in just 5 days. And in those 5 days, he did so much. He called out the religious hierarchy. Remember, if you've read the gospel accounts, there was that whole thing with the fig tree, wasn't there? And they're like, well, why would Jesus curse a fig tree? Well, the fig tree was just a symbol of what was supposed to be bearing fruit in the nation of Israel, which was the whole religious system. And it was fruitless. And it died. As a prophetic symbol of what was going to happen to the temple system just 70 years later. Then you remember that the religious leaders demanded to know, by whose authority are you doing what you're doing, Jesus? And he asked them a question that they said they wouldn't answer, because they knew that if they said John the Baptist's baptism was of God, then they were on the wrong side of that. And if they said it wasn't, well, all the people said it was, and so then they'd be in trouble. So they said, well, we won't answer that. And he said, well, neither will I answer you. What authority? In other words, religion is blind to what God is doing. And then he went into the temple and he turned over the tables of the money changers. He called them thieves. And then he rightly defined the right place of God's power and governmental power in our lives. He said, you give to God what's God's, you give to Caesar what's Caesar's. And he foretold the fall of Jerusalem, because the system that was running Jerusalem wouldn't bow the knee, wouldn't turn to God. And then when Mary anointed his feet with oil, he prophesied his own resurrection. And he was betrayed by one of his closest friends. I looked up betrayal in Webster's dictionary. It means to deliver into the hands of an enemy by treachery or fraud in violation of trust. It means to violate confidence by disclosing that which was entrusted. It means to violate by unfaithfulness, to expose. And then I realized we all experience betrayal in our lives, don't we? If I ask you to remember a moment when you were betrayed by someone, I'm sure you can think of one. Others betray us, whether through treachery and malice or through fraud and exposure. Sometimes others betray God in the way that they treat you. They're unfaithful, or they violate trust, or they violate your confidence. And sometimes you betray yourself by giving in to the enemy's schemes. We've all done it. And I want you to recall a betrayal now, please. Just close your eyes for a second. Recall a betrayal in your life. It's hard, isn't it? Because it hurts. I'm here to tell you that God wants to redeem it today. And that's what he's going to do in our time together. So for us to cooperate with God, I want you just to get clear, maybe jot it down on a paper if you're taking notes, or jot it into your phone if that's easier for you. But who betrayed you? What did they do? Maybe it was you betrayed yourself. What did I do? And why was that? What was really going on? If you know, maybe you don't. I know I've had betrayals in my life. I've still not figured out what was really happening. But maybe the key question is, how did I respond to being betrayed? To being let down? To being treated unfaithfully? To having my trust violated, or someone betraying a confidence. Just capture it, because God wants to step into it this morning. The result of Jesus' betrayal was his crucifixion, of course. And we now know with hindsight that the crucifixion was not the end. Make sure you come back next Sunday because we're going to celebrate resurrection. And that's always an amazing morning. We're going to celebrate in the parking lot like we have been doing for 5 years now. We're going to have DJ worship and dance and flag and enjoy the sunshine. And we'll have baptisms. If you've not been baptized and you want to be baptized to say, I'm following Jesus, let me know before you leave today so we can include you in the baptisms. And we're also going to be commissioning the leaders of our community fire groups. But the result of Jesus' betrayal was the crucifixion. And it was a terrible thing. And it wasn't just Judas who betrayed Jesus. As we read the accounts, we see that the disciples fled. Peter denied him. All of the people in the city just turned on him. Went from crying Hosanna on Sunday to crucify on Friday. And the religious leaders rejected God's son because they were putting their own interests above their calling. Even as Jesus was being crucified, you remember the religious leaders were mocking him. And they were saying he saved others, but he couldn't save himself. And all of that while Jesus was actually saving everyone. Like I said before, religion is blind to God. But salvation is a gift. And salvation is so much more than simply knowing I've prayed a prayer to give my life to him. The word sozo in the Greek means to save, to rescue, to deliver, to heal, to preserve, to bring into safety, to protect. It brings us out of slavery and into promise, just as happened in the book of Exodus. That was the foretelling, if you like, of what God was going to do for the whole world when he did it for Israel. And I want you to know this. None of what happened this week, 2,000 plus years ago, was in any way an accident or out of Jesus' control. Jesus was fully in control of the timing of his death. We talked about that a little bit last week. We talked about, he said that you were worth the price. We were worth the price that he paid. I think we read this last week, John 10:17-18. Jesus said, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I've received from my Father. And I'm not going to recap what I said last week about that, but I want to just point you to one more verse that's another sign that Jesus was in charge of everything that was going on through this week. In John 13:27, he gives Judas a command. He tells him, what you are going to do, do quickly. Jesus sent his betrayer out to betray him. In the timing that he knew would fulfill God's plan and God's purpose. Because when Judas went out at night to betray Jesus, that made it possible for the arrest to happen at night before the crowds would realize it. That made it possible for all of the fake trials that Jesus went through to be completed before the people realized what was going on. It totally turned the power dynamic in Jerusalem so that Jesus, rather than being their hoped-for deliverer, became the victim of the oppressors. And it all switched around because of the timing. And Jesus was the one who declared the time when he said, what you're going to do, do it now, do it quickly. Because once Jesus was arrested and being tried, then the religious leaders could easily manipulate the crowd into shouting crucify instead of shouting Hosanna. Because now Jesus, I guess for the crowd it was self-preservation, because remember they're being oppressed by the Romans. And the Romans have arrested this guy who they thought was going to overturn the Romans. Well, now they're in danger. If they stand up for him, they're on his side and the same fate will befall them. They wanted to appear loyal in case they would be seized as well. It's understandable, isn't it, that they would turn on a dime like that. It's not excusable, but it is understandable. And that's why on the day of Pentecost, Peter said to the people of Jerusalem, this is Acts 2, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Betrayal. The people he came to rejected him. But it was Jesus who was in charge. He embraced betrayal. He makes betrayal beautiful. I think we read Hebrews 12 last week as well, but I want to say it again, verses 2 and 3. We're looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So come back around to your betrayal for just a moment here. I hope you've picked just one of many that you've experienced, but that betrayal feels like hostility against me, doesn't it? It makes me despair or feel weary or frustrated or faint-hearted. It causes pain deep in our hearts to be betrayed. And it brings shame to us, because as we look around, it doesn't look like anybody else is being betrayed, but actually all of us have experienced it at points in our lives. And as you look again at your betrayal, I want you to know this: Jesus knows. He embraced worse than happened to you and to me just this very week, 2,000 years ago, so that we can get through to the joy on the other side of it. Because betrayal is never the end. We go through betrayal to come into promise. And Jesus said that humanity was worth it for him to go through betrayal and come into the promise of redeeming all of us. You and I, we're living in the joy of a restored relationship with God, because Jesus chose betrayal and death for us. So as you consider your own betrayal, the one that God's brought you to focus on this morning, let's think about our response to betrayal. Because it needs to be the same or comparable or similar to Jesus' response. He's showing us the way through the pain and into the potential. In Luke 23, verse 34, Jesus says on the cross, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Because Jesus knows that his betrayal is not simply a rejection of him. Their betrayal is also the door to our redemption. And he's on that cross because of the joy that's to come. He's willingly embracing the pain because he knows that God has more beyond it. Let me take a quick side trail here. When Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing," and what he says also in a few moments on the cross, it contradicts the standard religious explanation of Good Friday. And I want to highlight this. We were talking about it in Bible school this week with the first year students, and it's very powerful. Religion will tell you that the Father was disgusted with Jesus and turned away from him, leaving him to die because he was so angry at sin. And because Jesus took our sin, the Father is then angry at Jesus. But that's not at all what was going on. Jesus cried out, if you remember, my God, why have you forsaken me? Sounds like religion's right, doesn't it? If Jesus said God forsook him, surely he did. That must be why. God is so angry. But the problem with that is, well, every time I sin, God's got to be angry at me. And therefore, I need to experience God's withdrawal. But that's not the truth of what Jesus is saying there at all. What Jesus is doing is quoting Psalm 22, verse 1. It's the very beginning of Psalm 22. And he's not saying, God has abandoned me. Let me give you a parallel example. If I say to you this morning, oh say, can you see? I am not asking you, are you blind? Because for all of you, when I say, oh say, can you see, you automatically get the rest of the song, don't you? I'm talking about the land of the free and the home of the brave, aren't I? Because I say, oh say, can you see? Immediately it clicks for you, oh, I know all of that, and you get to the end of it, which is nothing to do with you being blind. And in the same way, we've misunderstood what Jesus says on the cross. When he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Every Jewish person would immediately get the whole of Psalm 22 downloaded into their consciousness. And Psalm 22 is not about God abandoning. The first phrase triggers the whole song, and it's going to change our view of betrayal. I'm not going to read all of it, but let me read from verse 22 if you're following along. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For, listen carefully, he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him. But he has heard when he cried to him. The psalm directly contradicts what we've been tricked into believing about what Jesus said on the cross. He's not hidden his face. He's heard when he cried to him. Let me read on. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. Psalm 22 is a song of victory through betrayal. I love verse 29. Even the one who couldn't keep himself alive. I wonder if that means that Judas is going to bow to Jesus. Even Judas. I can't prove that, but it just made me wonder. Key thing for us to hear is God hears when I cry to him in betrayal. God hears when I cry to him in betrayal. Verse 24, he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. Just as he heard Jesus, he hears your heart cry in your betrayal that you've been remembering this morning. Righteousness is released. It says, when I fulfill my vows, that's when I obey God, when I trust God, others will see and find rescue. There's our sozo, the salvation that we were just talking about. Righteousness comes when we go through betrayal, crying out to God. You see, you don't control your betrayal. I don't know your betrayal. I do know some of mine, but they come on you suddenly, don't they? Comes on you unexpectedly. That's part of what betrayal is all about. But God has the power and the purpose to redeem and adapt that betrayal for His glory. He hears and He redeems. Betrayal is not the thwarting of God's plans for you and for me. It's the beginning of their fulfillment. That betrayal that you've been recalling, God is using that to draw you towards what He has for you. The key question for every one of us is, will you walk through your betrayal to come out the other side? Or will you get stuck at that point? Don't get stuck. Recall it again because God will redeem it, but walk through it to what God wants to do. That's the message of Holy Week. That's the beauty of betrayal. It enabled Jesus to do all that He did so you and I can walk through betrayal that's less than He experienced, but still He's familiar with it. You don't have to go through it alone. He's there with you in it. So what do we do? Well, we ask the Father to forgive the betrayers. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And then we ask Father to hear our cry. We want to release the truth of how we feel to Him. Father, I feel abandoned. I feel betrayed. I feel let down. I feel rejected. But release those feelings to Him. And then ask Father to bring the victory of Jesus into your betrayal. Because God turns betrayal into victory. Yes, Jesus was betrayed. He was crucified. He was placed in someone else's tomb. And He rested on the Sabbath. And then on the first day of the week, boom, He's back. And everything is different. And the same will happen to us if we allow Father to turn betrayal into victory in our lives. And so we're going to ask God, God, what purpose are you fulfilling in my life through the betrayal you've been reminding me about this morning? So can we go to prayer? Let's let God do some work in our hearts, shall we? He's going to make your betrayal beautiful. Because He's working in it. So let's close our eyes and just sit quietly for a moment. If you're willing, just recall the pain of the betrayal one more time. And then when you're ready, begin to ask Father to forgive anyone that needs forgiveness in that episode of betrayal. Father, would you forgive him? Father, would you forgive her? Father, would you forgive them? Father, would you forgive me? Because we didn't see what we were doing. We didn't see the pain that we were causing. We didn't see what we were doing wrong. So, Father, would you forgive? Because you forgive, I choose to forgive too. And I let them go. I release them from any judgment that I've held in my heart. Just let that forgiveness flow right now. It may come with compassion for the one who betrayed you. It may come with comfort for the pain you received. But let the forgiveness flow. Because until forgiveness flows, God's purpose can't be fulfilled. Then along with that forgiveness flowing, let's ask Father to hear our cry, like the psalm says. Father, hear my cry. You don't need to vocalize it out loud, but in your heart or whisper it, just pour out to him the feelings, the responses, the reactions that came with that betrayal. I want to release all the feelings in that episode to you, Father. I want to give it to you now. It hurt, but I'm giving that hurt to you. I felt abandoned, but I'm going to release that abandonment to you. I felt rejected, but I'm going to let you take that rejection away. I felt exposed, but as I tell you about that exposure, I receive your covering and your protection. Your arms of love enveloping me. Thank you that as you come into my pain, you bring to me everything I need in this moment. And I choose to receive it now. So, Father, rather than getting stuck in this moment of betrayal, I'm going to walk through it with you now. I don't have to hold on to the people who did it anymore. I've forgiven them. I don't have to be held back by the pain and the feelings anymore. I'm giving them to you. And so in that place of nakedness before you, I choose to accept the pain, that you can take it. I choose to embrace the betrayal so that you can redeem it now. Father, what are you doing in my heart right now to redeem that betrayal and make it beautiful? Just allow him to show you what he's doing for you in this moment. It's just as significant as Jesus riding into Jerusalem, being recognized by the crowds. It's just as significant as Jesus telling Judas to go and betray him so that the timing would be fulfilled. This is your moment to move through that betrayal and out into God's purpose for you. You will live out the fruit of what you're doing now in the coming days. You'll live in the good of what God does as he shows your heart what he wants to do in you from this point forward. Jesus endured for the joy that was set before him. And Father has joy before each of us. So Father, as you're working right now in each heart, I want to bless each one to experience you fulfilling your purpose for that painful time that they've brought to you. To receive from you the gift of your presence, your redemption, and your future. Just let that settle into your heart in the quietness now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Sense for some of us that we need to renounce identifying ourselves by that betrayal. Oh, I'm the one who experienced that. In a sense that it kind of disqualifies you from being like anybody else because of what you went through or what they did to you. But you need to renounce having your identity in what was so that your identity can be in who he's designed you to be and what will be. So if that's the case, I'm going to pray a prayer and you can make it your own as we pray it. Father, I look back to what happened and I've been tempted to define myself by it. But now I see that you have a purpose for it that's greater. And so I want to let go of any sense of identity, false, shrunken identity that's connected to when I was betrayed. I let go of that now, Father. And I turn my face toward you and I say, Father, fulfill your purpose in me. I choose to receive your identity and your purpose and your fulfillment into my heart and into my life. Because your purposes for me are far greater than what I've been living by until now. So I say yes to you. Yes to you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Every one of us has more ahead of us in God than anything that we've gone through. And we exist as a church family to enable you to step into more of that. You all walked past it again on the way in this morning. This is a safe place to meet with God and become who you were designed to be. That's what we've been doing together, isn't it? That's the amazing thing about Holy Week. Jesus fulfilled who he was designed to be by being betrayed and crucified and resurrected. Now we live in the good of it. So there's far more for you and me than we've yet experienced. You're all moving another step into it by letting go of that thing that God's focused you on this morning. Walking through betrayal and into beauty. I'd be glad to pray with any of you who'd like me to, but there's a further blessing this morning. Would you go and get the kids out? Because they are preparing to go and minister in some of the residential homes, and they'd like to practice on us. So if you would like a child to pray for you, you need to go that way to that corner, and they would be delighted to practice on you. And that's going to be such a blessing. And then if you'd like me to pray with you about something that God's done in your heart while we've been talking together, I'd be glad to do that. I want to remind you that we've got our parking lot service next Sunday, celebration of Resurrection Day. So bring a friend or five. And if you want to be baptized, if you haven't been baptized already, or if God's saying, hey, you're a new person here, come and be baptized to demonstrate it, then we'd be glad to baptize you in public on Resurrection Day. It's a great day to get baptized. So come and see me before you go if you'd like that. Father, thank you that you've done good stuff in every one of our hearts. Let it bear fruit through this week to everyone we meet and everywhere we go. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be dismissed. Come and get prayer if you'd like it. Get prayer from the kids too. And have a great week. See you back here.